Paulina here with some book recommendations for you today. And if you're looking to improve your well-being, there's one method that has been making the rounds in the self-help titles. We're talking about digital detox. But how do you do it? Why is it important? And what benefits will it bring to your mental health and daily life? Well, here's some titles from the RNIB library to get you started. And first up, from Professor Cal Newport, we have his book Digital Minimalism, in which he explains how being more mindful with your technology can lead to a more meaningful and less stressful life.
Our Paleolithic brain categorizes ignoring a newly arrived text the same as snubbing the tribe member trying to attract your attention by the communal fire, a potentially dangerous social faux pas. The technology industry has become adept at exploiting this instinct for approval.
Do you find yourself endlessly scrolling through social media or the news whilst your anxiety rises? Are you feeling frazzled after a long day of endless video calls? Well, by following a digital declutter, you'll learn to rethink your relationship with social media, prioritize high bandwidth conversations over low quality text chains, and take back control from your devices to find calm amongst the chaos of the digital world.
The whole social media dynamic of posting content and then watching feedback trickle back unpredictably seems fundamental to these services. But as Tristan Harris points out, it's actually just one arbitrary option among many for how they could operate. Remember that early social media sites featured very little feedback. Their operations focused instead on posting and finding information. It tends to be these early, pre-feedback era features that people cite when explaining why social media is important to their life. When justifying Facebook use, for example, many will point to something like the ability to find out when a friend's new baby is born, which is a one-way transfer of information that does not require feedback. It's implied that people like this news. In other words, there's nothing fundamental about the unpredictable feedback that dominates most social media services. If you took these features away, you probably wouldn't diminish the value most people derive from them. The reason this specific dynamic is so universal is because it works really well for keeping eyes glued to screens. These powerful psychological forces are a large part of what Harris had in mind when he held up a smartphone on 60 Minutes and told Anderson Cooper, "This thing is a slot machine."
Cal Newport's Digital Minimalism is read by Will Dameron and lasts 7 hours and 1 minute. Now let's take a look at another title that can help you better understand why our attention spans are growing shorter, as best-selling author Johan Hari goes on a 3-year journey to uncover the reasons behind this in his book Stolen Focus.
"I don't understand what you're asking for," the man in Target in Boston kept saying to me. "These are the cheapest phones we got. They have super slow internet. That's what you want, right?" "No," I said. "I want a phone that can't access the internet at all." He studied the back of the box, looking confused.
Why have we lost our ability to focus? What are the causes? And most importantly, how do we get it back? For his book, Harry interviewed the leading experts in the world of attention and learned that everything we think about the subject is wrong. We assume our inability to focus is a personal failing, a flaw in each one of us. It is not. Instead, our focus has been stolen.
"I set up an auto reply saying I would be unreachable for the next 3 months. I abandoned the buzz in which I had vibrated for 20 years. I tried to go into this extreme digital detox without any illusions. I knew this ditching of the entire internet couldn't be a long-term solution for me. I wasn't going to join the Amish and abandon technology forever. Even more than that, I knew this approach couldn't even be a short-term solution for most people. I come from a working class family. My grandmother, who raised me, cleaned toilets. My dad was a bus driver. And saying to them that the solution to their attention problems would be to quit their jobs and go and live in a shack by the sea would be a spiteful insult. They literally can't do it. I did it because I thought that if I didn't, I might lose some crucial aspects of my ability to think deeply. I did it in desperation. And I did it because I felt that if I stripped everything back for a time, I might start to be able to glimpse the changes we could all make in a more sustainable way. This drastic digital detox taught me a lot of important things, including, as you'll see, the limits of digital detoxes. It began on a morning in May when I set off for Provincetown, with the glare of the screens of Graceland haunting me. I thought the problem was in my own distractible nature and in our tech. And I was about to give my devices away. Freedom, oh freedom, for a long, long time.
Johan Harry's Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention, is read by the author himself and lasts 10 hours and 14 minutes. Now, if you fancy checking out one or both of these titles, you can do so through the RNIB library. Just visit readingservices.rnib.org.uk and sign up for your free account, and also listen out for more great audiobook recommendations here on RNIB Connect Radio.